We're holding on page Lamed Vov in Shabbos, about the end of the page, three or four lines from the bottom. It's the middle of Os Nun Beis. We started talking about yesterday. There's machlokas tanoim. For the Mishnah had mentioned, that there can be a woman is polut shichvas zera, that it leaks out of her for up to a certain amount of time after the bia, and it can still be matane. And the Gemara had mentioned a machlokas tanoim of how long that is. Four onus, five, sometimes four, anywhere between four and six. The Chachamim say six. Whatever the case, that bears on why it is that before Matan Torah, Hashem told Moshe to tell the Jewish people that the husbands should separate from their wives for 3 days is in order that they would have to be that they would have time to become Tahor. So first the Gemara had discussed that. Most of that discussion about the various onus is not here in Ein Yaakov, because that's halacha discussion that doesn't mostly belong in Ein Yaakov. But the Gemara started dealing with the Agadta aspect of it about the time, among other things, about the timeline of Matan Torah. So we said there's Machlokas Rav Yosi and the Chachamim, what the actual date of Matan Torah was. The Chachamim say it was the 6th of Sivan. Rav Yosi says it was the 7th. So we left off, the Gemara establishes, they both agree that the Jewish people came to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and they both agree that the Torah was given on Shabbos. So the Machlokas is as far as the days of the week. So the Gemara says, Ki pligi b'kviya d'yartha. The Machlokas is, we're starting at the bottom of page, Lamed Vav, four lines from the bottom. So Ki pligi b'kviya d'yartha. So the argument is about what the kvius was that year, what day of the week was Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and the rest of the days. Rabbi Yossi Savar, so Rabbi Yossi holds like this, B'chad b'shaba ikra ikba yarcha. Rosh Chodesh that year was Sunday. Uv'chad b'shaba lay omalahu v'lay midi. On that day, on Rosh Chodesh, when they came to Har Sinai, Moshe didn't tell them anything. Mishum chosha d'urcha, because they were weak from the trip. We talked about briefly yesterday, Asicha, first of all, there's something Marsha says on Amud Beis, that even though we learned before that Moshe every time would go up to Har Sinai bashkama early in the morning, but the fact is, maybe the attacker came to Har Sinai early in the morning, and conceivably he could have gone up to Har Sinai and gotten instructions from Hashem, but he didn't because they were tired from the trip. And we talked about yesterday something that the Rebbe talks about in Asicha, why would they have allowed being tired to let them delay hearing instructions that are going to lead up to Matan Torah? They've been looking forward to it all this time, and there's the idea it was a ruchniistic journey to reach Moshe's level, and the fact that that no speaking is being done brings out the greatness of the Jewish people, that in a way they're higher than Torah. Anyway, so on that day, Moshe didn't give them any instructions. On Monday, which was the second day of Sivan, Moshe went up to Har Sinai and came down with Hashem's statement, which includes and ends with the words, that you'll be my kingdom of Kohenim and a holy nation. That is why, by the way, we call that day Beis Sivan. We call it Yom HaMiyuchas, the day when Hashem spoke about the yichus, about the greatness of the Jewish people, that were mamlechas kohenim v'goy kadosh. Anyway, so that was Monday. Rashi points out like this. Now, in general, we're going to assume that Hashem told him, he spent the whole day up on Har Sinai hearing the details from Hashem, and then he came down that evening and told the Jewish people. So actually, that's a little bit different than we said before. We said Ma'aliyah Bashkama Afyurida Bashkama. Earlier, the Gemara had said that just like every time he went up to Har Sinai was first thing in the morning, the same way every day, every time he came down was first thing in the morning. Now, Rashi explains the Gemara seems to be assuming that no, each time he went up in the morning, spoke to Hashem. Hashem gave him the instructions, and then that evening he went down and told it to the Jewish people. Also, Rashi makes the point that each of the instructions we should assume, since you have in the Pesukim multiple times that it says Hashem spoke to Moshe and told him such and such, and then by Yoshev Moshe's Divrei Amal Hashem, that Moshe responded to Hashem with what the people had said, the Gemara is assuming each one of those things happened on a different day. So first you have, again, on Sunday, then on Rosh Chodesh, nothing happened because they were tired. On Monday is when Moshe went up and came down to the Jewish people, telling them that you'll be Mamlechas Kohenim v'Goy Kadosh. B'tlosa b'shaba, on Tuesday, which was the 3rd of Sivan, Omalahu mitzvahs hagbal. He told them the mitzvah that they have to put a fence around Har Sinai and they can't come close to it. the Dalet, Avud Prisha, and then on Wednesday, on the 4th of Sivan, would be the day that Hashem told them to tell the Jewish people to separate, that the husbands should separate from the wives and prepare themselves for 3 days, and then will be Matan Torah. So the 3 days then would Dalet, Hay, and Vav Sivan, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Friday night, Friday afternoon, as we learned yesterday, they went to the mikveh, and or anybody who still needed to go to the mikveh at that point went to the mikveh, and Shabbos morning the Torah was given. That's according to Rav Yossi, that was the time. Rashi also makes the point that even though the part about not going up to the mountain, the part about fencing around the mountain and not going up to it, is actually written after the mitzvah of Prisha, nevertheless we have to assume the Gemara is saying we have to assume that it was actually given before that. Why? Because you have like this in the Pesukim. So Hashem tells Moshe, you're going to be Mamlachas Kohen in Begoy Kodesh. Then it says that, so Moshe goes, speaks to the Jewish people. They say Nasa, whatever Hashem says, we'll do. Moshe goes up the next morning, and Hashem tells him, Hinei Anochi Bori Lecha Ba'av Ha'onon, that I'm going to come to you in a thick cloud. And by Yoshev Moshe as Divrei Amal Hashem, Moshe responded to Hashem with what the people had said. And then Hashem told him that they need to fence around Har Sinai. Now, the question is, what was there in between? What was there for Moshe to tell them that Moshe had to tell back to Hashem what they had to say? So therefore, Rashi says, that forces us to say that in between, you have a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Hagbalah was actually set on that day, and only after that was the mitzvah of Prisha, of them to separate from their spouses in preparation for Matan Torah. Pnei Yehoshua points out, actually, Rashi on the Pasuk makes a different point. Rashi says that what was unsaid in the Pasuk and what Moshe told the Jewish people is that Hashem is telling Moshe that you're going to be speaking to the people, and they say, no, Ritzinenu Lidros Es Malkeinu, we want to see Hashem personally, we don't want to go through an intermediary like you. And Hashem says, very well. So in that case, why isn't Gemara assuming that that's the case? Pnei Yehoshua says, actually, those two things go together. Once we establish that the Jewish people want to hear directly from Hashem, then of necessity, there has to be a fence around Har Sinai so that people don't come too close. If they're only hearing through Moshe, then there's no reason to keep them off Har Sinai. There's not going to be such a dilly of a course anyway, and they're not going to be so hot to come as close as possible, to come as close as possible to Hashem, because anyway, they'd be hearing through Moshe. So therefore, it really amounts to the same thing that Pnei Yehoshua says. Anyway, so all that's according to Rabbi Yossi. Meanwhile, the Rabbanon Sabri, the Rabbanon calculated as follows. B'trei b'shaba ikba yarcha, they say Rosh Chodesh Sivan that year was Monday. And b'trei b'shaba lo omaluhu v'lo midi mishum chol shadurcha. Again, on that day, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Moshe didn't say anything to them because they were worn out from the trip. Or b'tlosa omaluhu v'atam tiyuli. So the Chachamim say on Tuesday, which would be the second day of Sivan. So they still say it was the second of Sivan, but they make it to be Tuesday instead of Rabbi Yossi's Monday. And that's when he said to them, v'atam tiyuli. B'dalet on Wednesday, which would have been the third of Sivan, omaluhu mitzvah sagbala. He tells them to stay off the mountain. B'hei over Prisha. And on Thursday, which would have been the fourth of Sivan, he told them Prisha. So the Prisha, the separation of husbands and wives, took place on Thursday and Friday, and then the Torah was given on Shabbos. But that's the thing. The Gemara is going to point out later on, the expression in the Pasuk is V'hayu nechonim l'yoyim hashlishi. They should be ready for the third day. So that implies the third day from when Hashem said it. If Hashem told them on the fourth, then fourth, fifth, sixth, that's the third day. And meanwhile, Rabbi Yossi, so how does Rabbi Yossi say differently? The Gemara is going to explain soon. So that's how we have, so in that way, both Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim agree that they came there on Rosh Chodesh Sivan and the Torah was given on Shabbos. The machlokas between them is basically how many days of Prisha there were. Rabbi Yossi says three, the Chachamim say two. The Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction. The Pasuk says, Hashem tells Moshe, V'kidashtem hayoyim u'mochar, make them holy today and tomorrow. So only Thursday and Friday. Kasha l'Rabbi Yossi. So how is Rabbi Yossi going to understand that, who said that it started already on Wednesday? The answer is, Amalach Rabbi Yossi, yoyim echad hoisif Moshe midaytei. Moshe added an extra day on his own. He decided they needed an extra day for reasons that we'll talk about soon. In fact, actually, the Magen Avraham points out a very interesting thing. When you think about it, the idea is we count Sfirasa Omer, and then Shavuos is the 50th day. But if you think about it, the Gemara is going to talk about later on, Yetzias Mitzrayim was on Thursday. That means the first day of Sfira, the mitzvah of Sfira hadn't been given yet, but they were counting on their own, would have been Friday. If the first day of Sfira is Friday, then the 49th is going to be Thursday, because it's exactly 7 weeks, and the 50th day should be Friday. Yet we learned before the Torah was given on Shabbos. So therefore, it comes out it was actually the 51st day of Sfira. So how is it that and Bechlau, for that matter, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Magen Avraham goes further. He says, Rabbi Yossi's opinion that there needed to be 3 full days of Prisha is based on the idea that Gemara said before, that the Chachamim hold you need 6 complete oynos in order for Shichvas Zera, that comes out of the woman, to not be Metame anymore. And therefore, you need it to spread over 3 complete days. Well, since the halacha is like that, it means in effect the halacha has to be that the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan. So how are we saying? Zman Matan Torah Seinu on the 6th of Sivan. And then there's the second question of that it's the 51st of Sfira. So he says, based on this Gemara over here, if we're saying Yosef Moshe, Yemech and Mizaita, then that answer, not only that answers both questions, but the Magen Avraham says that gives us an asmachta in the Torah for the concept that the Chachamim can add us a second day of Yom Tov, and we have to observe it the same way as Moshe added one day, and as the Gemara is going to say, Hashem agreed with him and postponed Matan Torah by one day. So, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Shloshet Varim Osa Moshe Bidaito. There were 3 things that Moshe did on his own. Behiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imoy, and Hashem agreed with him that these are the right things to do. The first one is Hosif Yemecha Midaito. He added 1 extra day before Matan Torah. The Upirish Mina Isha, he separated from his wife, as you have later on that we know that Aaron and Miriam criticized him for that. The Shibir, that's a luchas, and he broke the luchas when he saw them worshiping the eagle. So each of these, so let's figure out what his logic was for each one of them. Hosef Yemecha Midaita, my Donash, what did Moshe Darshin, what gave him the idea to add an extra day? Because he says, when Hashem says, Hayoim Umocher, that you need to prepare them today and tomorrow, now, instead, Hashem could have said, you prepare them Yemayim, or something to that effect. You didn't have to say the words Hayoim and Mocher. So therefore, Moshe understood that to mean Hayoim Kimocher, it means that in a certain sense, today needs to be like tomorrow. Tomorrow, which is Friday, the second day, goes together with the night before. Jewish days always begin the night before. So therefore, in other words, Friday actually begins Thursday night. The same way, the same way the Hayyom Hashem is speaking about also has to include the previous night. So Thursday has to include also Wednesday night. But by the time Hashem gave him the instructions, it's already the morning, so the night's already gone. Therefore, so in other words, Rabbi Yossi is understanding like this: Hashem told Moshe on Wednesday morning that they kiddushed my yom ha'mocher. Moshe realizes if we just say it means Wednesday and Thursday, and the Torah is going to be given on Friday, the problem is Wednesday is incomplete because it starts Wednesday morning, where Thursday is already beginning Wednesday night. So therefore, he realized you have to have an extra day, and that way you have a full Wednesday night, Thursday, Thursday night, Friday, and that way you have 2 complete days. So he realized that means that it must mean 2 days besides for today. Tosfos points out, the fact is it's not a solid drosha. Tosfos is not printed here in Ein Yaakov, but Tosfos on the Gemara points out, it's not a rock solid drosha. The fact is, we're saying that Moshe came up with it on his own. And Hashem agreed with him. If it really was that it was meant to be that way to begin with, that was clearly implied in Hayyim Mocher, then you wouldn't say that Moshe came up with it on his own. So it means Hashem would have been fine with it being a day and a half, basically. But Moshe decided that it shouldn't be that way. Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously. Where do we see that Hashem agreed with him? The fact is, when did the Shekhinah rest on Har Sinai? When was the Torah given? Shabbos morning. So therefore, we see that Hashem agreed with Moshe. The Pnei Yeshua, by the way, brings up a very interesting point. He says, now we learned in the Gemara before, we learned yesterday, that how b'chlal do we know that the Torah was given on Shabbos? Because it says, Zohar, so you have a Shabbos Tekadjai, and we understand that the word Zohar means something like on this day. Just like on the day of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Moshe told them, Zohar, and it means this very day that you left Mitzrayim. So the Pnei Yeshua says, well, in that case, if the original plan was that the Torah was going to be given on Friday, then that Zeta Shavuot wouldn't work. So how would it have been? So he says a very interesting thing. We know, we say that Zocha v'shama v'dibur echa, that the two words were given in one word. So he says, the vote is, if the Torah had originally been given on Friday, according to what Rabbi Yossi is saying, as Hashem originally planned, then Hashem would have written on the Luchas, and he would have spoken, by the Aseres HaDibros, he would have spoken the word shama rather than Zocha, because Moshe added the extra day, and Hashem agreed with him and delayed Matan Torah until Shabbos. Therefore, instead, he changed the word shama to Zocha, and thus Zocha v'shama were said by Hashem together.
And anybody who's on a low level of Moshe Rabbeinu yet on his own, or only Moshe?
The Pashto is not. The Pashto is only Moshe. I mean, to a certain extent, again, the Morgan Avram is saying that you have the Chachmei Adoris, the Chacham of later generations have a certain license to add fences around the Torah, as we're saying. For example, the Chachamim of later generations adding Yom Tov Sheni Shor Goldius, and we have to keep it. But yeah. Okay, so that's the first one. When we say that Moshe separated from his wife, what did he darshan to come up with that? He figured nasa kavachoyim ba'atzmai. So he made a kavachoyim on himself. He made a kavachoyim. The Jewish people, the Shechinah is only speaking to them for a short while, only during Matan Torah. The Kovalahem Zman, and Hashem told them in advance when it's going to be. And yet, Omra Torah Al Tigshu Elisha, and still the Torah is telling them to stay away from their spouses for 3 whole days, or 2 days, as the case may be. I, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem speaks with me at any moment. And Hashem never tells me in advance when it's going to be. How much more so that I need to stay away from my wife, because it might happen that Hashem comes and speaks to me, and at that moment I'm tummy. Again, Tosfos points out that it's not a rock solid kavachoyim. Tosfos here also in Yevamos, this Gemara is also in Yevamos. It's not an absolutely rock solid kavachoyim. Adrabah, you could say, I mean, for one thing, look, you know, what are they supposed to say away from period of year forever? They have to go back to normal family life at some point. And also, maybe exactly that. Maybe because Hashem told them in advance, therefore he's telling them that they need to separate from their wives until then. But still, it is a kavachomer, and Hashem agreed with Moshe that it's an okay kavachomer. So where do we see that Hashem agreed with him? Dichtiv. Hashem says to him in Parshas Vayis Chanan, Leich emor lahem shuvu lachem la'aleichem. Go tell them, return to your tents. And your tents also means to your wives. We find a few places in Tanakh, and the Gemara mentions that a man's wife is called metaphorically his oyel, because she surrounds him and protects him, beruchnius, basically. Uchtiv basre, but the next pasuk continues, v'ata poya modi body, you stand here with me, implying, in other words, that Hashem is telling you, unlike them, are not going to return to your oil. You are on a different level, and you're going to stay apart from her. So we see that Hashem agreed with that kavachomer of Moshe's. Tosfos points out that still, how do you know that Moshe came up with the idea first? Maybe the va'ata poya modi modi is Hashem actually commanding him to separate from his wife. So, Rashi mentions that the idea that this was ever since Hashem first appeared to him, which apparently would be by the Sneh, then he separated from his wife. But Tosfos' understanding, we mean only from Matan Torah and on. So Tosfos says, because in that case, why would Miriam and Aaron have argued against him? If Hashem commanded him to, then they would have had no problem with it, because obviously Hashem told him to. So then, what it is like this. First, Moshe came up with the idea on his own. Yes, Hashem agreed with him, but they were still upset with him because they said, you shouldn't have come up with the idea, first of all. We know Hashem causes a person to go in the way that he wants. So fine, because you decided that it's a good idea, therefore Hashem told you, go ahead. But you shouldn't have come up with the idea in the first place. Then Tosfos goes on to wonder, so why is it that they only found out about it a year after Matan Torah? Why is it the whole thing with Miriam speaking Lashon Hara and getting Tsaras happened a little over a year after Matan Torah, the following year, Sivan? How did they not know about it until then? So Tosfos answers that what happened was like this. In Parshas Baaloska, you have Moshe is saying to Hashem, I can't handle the people anymore. They're too bothersome. So Hashem tells him, appoint 70 skenim, and some of your spirit will rest on them, and they'll become neviim temporarily. So the Medrash says on this, actually the Gemara says on this, that when this happened and they all became temporarily Nevi'im, then Zipporah and Miriam were standing together, and Miriam was saying, look how fortunate these people are and their wives, they became Nevi'im. And Zipporah says, how unfortunate for their wives, you know, they're going to have to separate from their wives like my husband separated from me. So that's the first time Miriam found out that anything like that happened. And Tosfos adds that Zipporah went on to explain to her that it was Moshe's initiative. Up until then, maybe Miriam knew that Moshe had separated from Zipporah, but she thought Hashem had commanded him. Now, for the first time, she finds out that no, it was Moshe's own idea in the first place, and that is why she and Aaron started speaking against Moshe and saying what makes him think that he's any greater than any other Navi, until Hashem explains to them exactly what we're saying over here, that yes, Moshe has to be on call at all times, and therefore he can't have relations with his wife ever. The Easter Amri, Pale, Pale, Dabber Boy. Others say, we can also learn it from the Pasuk. Hashem says in that story with Miriam and Aaron, Hashem tells them, I speak to him mouth to mouth. In other words, that therefore, so I told him, Marsha brings from Rashi, from Rashi on Chumash, that it means Hashem says, I'm the one who told him to separate from his wife. So don't you think that you know better? Shibiras aluchas my darash. What did Moshe Daushin? What made him say that he should break the luchas? Omar, he figured a kavachim. Uma pesach shu echad mitayag mitzvahs. Madach the korban pesach, which is one, which is only one of 613 mitzvahs. Omra Torah called ben nechor la yechal boy. The Torah says that a ben nechor is not allowed to eat from it, and we understand that means the Gemara explains, and this is how it is la halacha, that it means usually ben nechor means a goy, but it doesn't just mean a goy; it means a Jew who's acting like a goy, shen isnakru ma'isav avur shavashmaim, who's acting in a way foreign to Hashem, namely he's worshiping avodah zarah. So an Ovid Avodah Zarah is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. A Torah Kula Kan, so Moshe thinks to himself, the entire Torah is here, because the Aser Sedibris encapsulate the whole Torah. Bisrom Mumrim, and the Jewish people have gone astray and worshipped Avodah Zarah. Alachas Kamavakama, how much more so that they don't deserve to have the Torah. Again, here also Tosfos points out it's not an absolutely rock solid Kal v'chomer, because you could always say fakir that the Korban Pesach is fine. That's not going to bring people to do tshuva. Even the Korban Pesach, therefore, let them not eat from it until they actually do tshuva, as opposed to the whole Torah. Add a little, maybe it'll bring them back to the right way. But nevertheless, it was a Kal v'chomer. So where do we see that Hashem agreed with Moshe? Because when Hashem tells Moshe to prepare the second luchas, he tells him to replace the luchas which you broke. The word asher means Hashem is telling you, your strength should be strong, that you broke the luchas. In other words, Hashem is complimenting Moshe that he did the right thing. So, how exactly, you have lots of ashers in Tanakh. Why dafka we doushin in this one? So, there's a lot of different explanations. Hakosef brings one because the Hashem continues and tells him, he says that from now on, the broken luchas and the complete second luchas are both going to be in the Aron. Now, if it was wrong of Moshe to break the first luchas, then Hashem wouldn't want them to be kept as a permanent thing in the Aron, because then it would constantly be like a derogatory thing on behalf of Moshe. So therefore, it must be that Hashem approved of Moshe doing it. Marsha and Yevamos brings another point as well. Bechlal didn't have to say Asher Shibarta at all, and why is Hashem even mentioning it? We know that the first ones were broken. So for that and various other reasons, we see that Hashem approved of what Moshe did. In fact, we have Hakosef brings over here that the very end of the Torah, the Chola Yon Chazaka, the last pasuk of the Torah, Rashi mentions that it means that he broke the luchos. There's the sicha, the famous sicha, where the Rebbe talks about why is that the culmination of the whole Torah, is because by breaking the luchos, Moshe demonstrated that the Jewish people are even more important than the luchos, and therefore it's worth sacrificing the luchos in order to mitigate the severity of what the Jewish people did. Like Rashi says, it's like tearing up the ksuba so that we don't consider that the woman was married when she was mezaneh, etc. So therefore, by doing that, Moshe showed the preciousness of the Jewish people. So in any case, the point is that Moshe, so Rabbi Yossi is not bothered by the fact that Hashem told Moshe to prepare the Jewish people for only 2 days, because we're saying one of the things that Moshe added was to add a third day on his own. In the back of the Gemara, there's a couple of interesting ideas that are brought on that. First of all, there's an interesting explanation from Rabbi Lozen Moshe Horowitz. where he says that actually all these three things all kind of go back to one thing. The difference between how the Eibishter knows how things are going to happen versus how a boss of a dumb such as Moshe Rabbeinu knows. Namely, in the case of the adding one day, what's the idea why you need 3 days? So as the Gemara was discussing before, you have this whole potential problem of Pleitas Shichvas Zera. Hashem, who knows the future, could know that there's going to be nobody in practice, there's going to be no woman who's going to be Pleitas Shichvas Zera beyond 2 days. Therefore, we don't need to delay the giving of the Torah any more than that. Moshe, who has no way of knowing that, he's after all a boss of a dumb, figured you have to add 1 day. The same way as far as as a fence, basically, right? So that just in case anybody is poilet shichvas zera on the third day, which would be matame them. So yeah, Hashem knows that also if it happened on the third day, it would be matame them. But Hashem knows that it's not going to happen in the first place. Same thing with separating from his wife. Hashem would know that he's never going to call on Moshe at a moment when he's tomei, but Moshe has no way of knowing that in advance. Therefore, on his own, he had to separate from his wife. And the same thing as far as breaking the luchas. Hashem knew that the Jewish people eventually are going to do tshuva. Moshe had no way of knowing that. Therefore, he broke the luchas. So in each case, when we say that Hashem agreed with him, in effect, it means that Hashem said, I understand you're acting with the limited information that you have compared to me who knows everything. Nevertheless, I agree that from your point of view, you did the right thing because in each of these cases, you had no way of knowing how it's going to turn out differently. Ruach HaKodesh is only what Hashem shows. Is only what Hashem shows a person. Ruach HaKodesh is not an automatic thing that a tzaddik is able to see. Whatever Hashem puts it in, but so therefore, if Hashem didn't give that to Moshe, then you have it. Another interesting point that's also in one of the Mefarshim in the back of the Gemara, Hagoris Ben Aryeh, which is notes on the Gemara from Rabbi Cyril Salanter's father, he has a long, interesting explanation. He says, Bechlau, before Matan Torah, the Jewish people had the status of Bnei Noach. And there's various Sfarim that talk about the idea that the Bnei Noach, unlike we Jewish people, where you have Vayi'era Vayivoyko, the evening comes before the morning, before the daytime, by Bnei Noach, it's the other way around. Then first comes the daytime, then the nighttime. Therefore, he says, it comes out. So when we're saying the Jewish people were counting the days after Matan Torah, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, until Matan Torah, and that's based on that we count Sfiras Omer. So they would have started counting, the first day they would have started counting was on Friday. But since retroactively, when it comes to Matan Torah, it comes out that Friday was incomplete because, again, it didn't have the night before it. So therefore, now when Moshe added the extra day, and it comes, then that answers, he says, that neatly answers the Magen Avraham's question that we said before. How is it that Matan Torah was supposed to be on the 50th day, and instead it was on the 51st? Because in fact, once you recalculate according to the way we Jews count days, then in fact it was the 50th according to the way that they should have been counting Sfira to begin with. The Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof against Rabbi Yossi. The pasuk is, V'hoyu nechoinim la'yem ha'shlishi. They should be prepared for the third day. So that implies, in other words, I'm giving you the instructions today, and 2 days from now, which is going to be the third day counting from now, is going to be Matan Torah. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, it's the fourth day from now. So kasha l'Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara gives the same answer. Harmin, yoy mechon, hoysef Moshe midaite. Same answer, Moshe added another day on his own. Marsha points out that sometimes he brings from the Mizrahi, sometimes the word Bayom HaShlishi can actually mean after 3 days. We have an example when Yosef arrested his brothers and kept him in jail for a couple of days, and then he told them Zois Asu V'Chiu, all of you go back to Eretz Yisrael, except I'm going to keep Shimon as a hostage, and it says that was Bayom HaShlishi. So here on the one hand, it says he put him in jail Shloshes Yomim, and then it says that Bayom HaShlishi, on the third day, he told them, I'm going to let most of you go, implying therefore that Bayom HaShlishi and Shloshes Yomim don't necessarily have to be necessarily the same thing. Now, Shloshes is not a solid proof, but nevertheless, there are actually Mefarshim who understand it sort of that way. Hashem says to Moshe, Bayom HaShlishi, leaving it open for Moshe, if he wants, to understand it to mean after 3 full days, which would mean on the fourth day. So Hashem specifically phrased it like that in an ambiguous way to leave an opening for Moshe should he decide to do that. The Ritva makes a similar point in a different Gemara. He says many times when we have in the Gemara an asmachta, we say that a certain pasuk is a hint for a din de rabbanon. He says that an asmachta, actually, it's not just that the Chachamim looked around, found a pasuk that's like, it's a nice handy mnemonic or something. No, it's when Hashem dictated the Torah to Moshe, he included this particular pasuk or this particular turn of phrase in order that the Chachamim, if they eventually decide that a certain takana would be the right thing to do, then Hashem is saying, all along I had in mind this would be a good thing to do, I decided for reasons of mine, not to include it as a din d'oraisa, but I'm leaving it to the chachamim to determine whether it's the right thing to do. And in case they do, I'm leaving that pasuk as a source that they can use for it. So here, a similar thing, then the idea would be that Hashem used the word bayim ashlishi, which can be sort of ambiguous. It can mean on the third day, or it can mean after 3 full days, and that way he's leaving it up to Moshe to do however he sees fit. Okay, so the Gemara goes on to talk about more about the timeline before Matan Torah. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, by Yoshev Moshe as Divrei Amal Hashem. First it says that Moshe brought back the people's words to Hashem. Uchtiv Vayagid Moshe as Divrei Amal Hashem. Then it says that Moshe told over the people's words to Hashem. So in between, you don't have anything that the people told Moshe. So ma omalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. So what did Hashem tell Moshe in between? Uma omalehu Moshe Yisrael. What did Hashem in turn tell the Jewish people? What did Moshe in turn tell the Jewish people? Uma omi Yisrael Moshe. Uma heishiv Moshe lifnei Agvura. And then what did the Jewish people say to Moshe? And what did Moshe report back to Hashem in between those two psukim? Where, in other words, you have like this. It says by Yoshev Moshe as Divra that the people said Naseh, and Moshe brought back to Hashem the report that the people have said Naseh. Then Hashem tells Moshe that I'm going to come to you in a thick cloud, Bavu Yishma Om, etc. By Yagid Moshe as Divra Om Hashem, and Hashem and Moshe spoke back the people's words to Hashem. So what was there in between? What was there that Moshe? What instruction is there that Moshe has to give the Jewish people that they respond to? And then what did they respond? We don't find anything of that in the psukim. So zu mitzvah hagvola divrei Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda. So Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda says there you have to stick in between the mitzvah of hagvola, this that Moshe tells them that they have to put, that Hashem tells Moshe, and Moshe in turn tells them that they have to fence in Har Sinai and not go up to it. So even though that's only written later in the psukim, as Rashi said earlier, we have to understand Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda that it says that it belongs over here, because otherwise there's something missing in the pasuk. And again, you have what the Pnei Yeshua says that we said before, that when the Jewish people said Ritzinenu Lirasas Malkenu, then Hashem says to Moshe, in that case, then along with that has to go hagvola, because they have to be careful that they don't try to come too close to Har Sinai. That's Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda. Rebbe says no. It's actually not an extra thing that Moshe is telling Hashem what the Jewish people did, and vice versa. It's rather both of them, the Vayoshev and Vayagid, is referring to how Moshe told the people Hashem's words. B'tchila perash oinsha. First, Moshe told the Jewish people the punishments for violating the mitzvahs. Dichtiv Vayoshev Moshe, because the first time it uses the expression Vayoshev Moshe, where Vayoshev means Dvarim Shebeshabavin Daita Shel Adam, means he told them words that dissuade a person's heart. Rashi brings that the word Meshabavin comes from the word Shovav, which means like to be dissuaded, to be talked out of something. So like first he's telling them in a way that would talk them out of that they should be afraid in a certain sense to accept the Torah, because there are going to be serious consequences if they violate it. Rabbi Nachmanel explains a little bit differently. He explains the shoda shavav can also mean splinter, as you find a pasuk in Hosea that uses the word shavavim to mean splinters. So it means these are words, harsh words that splinter a person, that break a person's heart. Afterwards, the next thing was Moshe told the Jewish people about the reward for doing mitzvahs. Dichtiv vayaged, where then it says vayaged Moshe, and that means dvarim shemoshkin libishal adam pagada. That means that he told them words that draw a person's heart in like a gadda. So that would be the meaning of Vayoshev versus Vayagid. Rebbe is saying not that there's two separate, not that there's in between, there's something that the Jewish people said or something that Hashem said to the Jewish people where Moshe has to report back to Hashem, but rather that Moshe himself is being told to present the Torah to the Jewish people in two different ways. The Ikadamri, others say the other way around, the Tchila Pirish Matan Sfara, the same psukim, but the other way around. First, Moshe explained the reward for Torah, Dichtiv Vayoshev Moshe, because first it says that Moshe returned the people's words to Hashem, which implies Dvarim Shemeshivin Daita Shel Adam, so therefore it means things that restore a person's mind. Things that help put a person's mind at ease. All of a sudden, Pirush Oinsha, afterwards he explained the punishment, Dichtiv Vayagid Moshe, and there it means Dvarim Shekoshim La'odim Kigidim, means words that are as harsh as Gidim, which is wormwood, which is a very bitter herb. So according to Rebbe, either way, however we understand by Yoshev and by Yagid, respectively, these are two different ways that Moshe gave over the Torah and the import of what they were accepting on themselves to the Jewish people. The Maharal explains the two different opinions are the one way of looking at it is first he wanted to tell them the difficult side of it, Dvarim Shem Shabbin, and afterwards the good side. So that way, what you hear last tends to have the more lasting impact. So that way, that part will have more of an impact on them. According to the other way of looking at it, he wanted to start with the good part first. Because otherwise, if he starts with the bad part first, they might completely be dissuaded, and then they're not going to want to receive the Torah at all. Okay. So anyway, the point of the Gemara, again, the Gemara had brought that in as a side point while we were discussing the timeline of Matan Torah and discussing where we see that the mitzvah of Hagbalah was given in between the other ones. Okay, so the Gemara says, Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof. A braisa says, Shishi, the sixth day, which the Gemara is going to explain in a second, sixth of what, was Shishi b'chodesh, Shishi b'shabbos. It was the sixth day of the month of Sivan, and it was also the sixth day of the week. It was Friday. So kasha l'rabbanim. So that braisa is difficult for the chachamim, because according to them, the sixth of Sivan was on Shabbos, not on Friday. The answer is Honami Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara answers that's not a problem. That Braisa also goes according to Rabbi Yossi. Previously, the Gemara had brought a Braisa, if not here in Ein Yaakov, that says the third day was the third day of the week and the third day of the month. And the Gemara said that one goes according to Rabbi Yossi, and this one also goes according to Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara asks, Shishi Lamai, the sixth since what? The Udiya Braisa, when it talks about the third, it means the third day of Hashem's giving instructions to Moshe. But after that, eventually we said before that on a couple of days before Matan Torah, Hashem gave Moshe the mitzvah of Prisha. After that, there's no further communication that Hashem is telling Moshe. The next thing you have is in Parshas Mishpatim that Moshe sets up a mizbeach by the foot of Har Sinai and calls on the Bechorim to bring korbanos. So now you can't say, Rashi explained that the sixth means the sixth day of Hashem communicating with Moshe the pre-Matan Torah instructions. So sixth day of what then? It can't mean the sixth day of the week, and it can't mean the sixth day of the month, because the Braisa has mentioned those specifically. So Rava Amalachani Yosan. Rava says it means the sixth day since they have camped at Har Sinai. If they camped, they came there, Rosh Chodesh, then now the sixth of Sivan is the sixth day that they were camping there. Rav Achaba Yaakov says it was the sixth day since they had traveled from Rephidim, because he learns that the same day they traveled from Rephidim, the same day they arrived at Har Sinai. And the Gemara says, "But kamifta gibe Shabbos demora." Now, whereas according to Rava, in other words, the point is they traveled from Rephidim one day and they arrived at Har Sinai the next day. The kamifta gibe Shabbos demora. Now, the underlying machloekas Rava and Rav Acha bar Yaakov is about when we know that the Jewish people were given the mitzvah of Shabbos in Mora a few weeks before Matan Torah. So, what part of Shabbos was given? Now, first of all, we know that Shabbos was given there, Dichtiv Kashet Sivcha Hashem Alekecha, because when it repeats the Aseret HaDibros in Parshas Vayeschanan, and it says over there, Kashet Sivcha Hashem Alekecha, as Hashem has commanded you, V'omer of Yehuda Omer Rav, Kashet Sivcha B'mora. That means that Hashem previously, before Matan Torah, has already given you the mitzvah of Shabbos in Mora. What parts of Shabbos were given at Mora? Tosfos points out, why do we have to say it was in Mora? Why don't we say when they received the mon is when they received the dinim of Shabbos? In fact, you have the dinim of Shabbos, our first written in connection with the mon. Tosfos says, because by Kibbud Av V'Eim, it also says Kashet Sivcha, and there it means that it was in Mora, so therefore we should assume that the Kashet Sivcha of Shabbos also means in Mora. Anyway, so Mar Sava Shabbos Ipkud at Chumen Lo Ipkud. So Rava holds that were commanded about Shabbos, about not doing Malacha on Shabbos, but they weren't yet commanded about not going outside the Tchum. From Rephidim to Har Sinai is more than a Tchum Shabbos, but there was no problem with them going outside that Tchum because they hadn't been given that mitzvah yet. So therefore, they could be traveling on Shabbos, and there's no problem with that. Whereas Reb Acha bar Yaakov holds that part of what they were given in Mora was also the mitzvah of Tchumen, and therefore they couldn't go. Okay, you have actually the Rambam holds that the Daraisa Tchumen only 12 mil, only Midrabanan is it 2,000. You have other elsewhere in the Gemara. You have Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva holds that 2,000 Amos is Midaraisa. Everybody else holds it Midrabanan. Anyway, so fine. According to the Rambam, you would have to say that from Refidim, Tar Sinai is more than 12. Whatever the case, the point is, Rabbi Achaba Yaakov says they wouldn't have been allowed to travel that distance on Shabbos. Therefore, of necessity, they have to have left Refidim and come to Har Sinai all the same day, which would have been Rosh Chodesh. And we said before, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh that year was Sunday. So therefore, they couldn't have traveled on Shabbos because that would have meant going outside the Torah. So a couple of Mephoshim point out, don't you have also the problems of taking down their tents and carrying and so forth? Yeah. So there are a couple of different answers. One of them being that in fact there is in fact an answer that some of the Mephoshim give, that when we say over here Tchumin, we mean not just Tchumin, but we mean also the concept of carrying on Shabbos hadn't been given yet. So that would answer that. Another possibility, Pnei Yeshua mentions that idea. Another possibility is, we know that midaraisa, there are many ways to do malachas in a way where you're not over. It's only midrabanan. Most, if not all, those ways are also. For example, doing it with a shinui or shnayim shasa'ua, two people doing something together where one of them could have done it alone. So, for example, taking down their tents or carrying or whatever, they could have easily done in ways that are not an isur daraisa, and therefore the Gemara is not bothered by that. Tchumen, there's no way if Refidim and Har Sinai are more than a Tchum Shabbos or more than 12 mil apart, then there's no getting around that. And therefore, Rav Achaba Yaakov says necessarily they have to have left on Sunday and arrived on Sunday, because otherwise they would have been Mechal Shabbos. Whereas Rava is not bothered by that, because he says Bechal, the whole concept of Tchumen and maybe also carrying, according to some Mephoshim, hadn't yet been given in Mora. That was only given by Matan Torah. Therefore, they could travel on the Shabbos before Matan Torah and there wouldn't be a problem with that. That's the thing. So that's the thing. It's a week, it's a couple of weeks after Mara, that's true, but they may not have gotten the full thing of Tchumen yet. When it says Al Yetzei Ish Mimakoymai, the Gemara mentions elsewhere there is a remez in that to Tchumen, but it's not primarily according to most Tanoim and according to most Rishonim. The whole concept of Tchumen is only Dirabon. That pasuk Al Yetzei Ish Mimakoymai is primarily talking about not carrying four Amos in Rosh Hashanah, or carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, because four Amos is a person's marker. So therefore, they may not have, so according to Rava, they may not have been given Tchumen yet at that point at all. Do you? Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola, Yud here. We're already in Elif Hashishi, we're in the sixth millennium, which corresponds to Friday. Within that, we're already in Erev Shabbos Acha Chatzos, and based on all the simonim of the Geula, we must be very close to Geula. So now is the Zman Grama to already prepare for Lech Lecha Me'arutz of Chaim, prepare to go to, that we should be all in, that we should be fully ready to leave our land and so on and so forth and go La Oretz Hashar Arecha, to the land that Hashem will show us, take from Yad Ma'ash. Continuing on halachas of Shechyanu and so forth, when you have a new fruit that's available only once a year, then the first time that year you eat that fruit, you say Shechyanu, you first say Shechyanu, and then the regular bracha on the fruit. If you first made the regular bracha on the fruit, then you can say Shechyanu. After that, it's not considered a hefsek. If you didn't say Shechyanu, though, that first time, then you can't make the bracha at all. The Alter Rebbe says, in that case, say it without shame or malchus. Another point, if you have various kinds of fruits before you, various kinds of new fruits, you say one Shechyanu and it covers all of them. What about if you have two different subspecies that are a little bit similar? And it gives us an example over here, sweet cherries and sour cherries. So they have different tastes, or even if they have the same name but different tastes, for example, white versus black figs. Or the Alter Rebbe adds, even if the only difference between them, in fact, is the color, then if you make Shechyanu on one, you would still say Shechyanu on the other one because they're two separate simchas. You would make on the second one because they're two separate simchas. Each one is a different happiness. Each one is a different color or taste or what have you. So it's a separate simcha for each one. Shechyanu is about the simcha that you have of eating something new, and therefore you have that. So then that's the thing. If the only difference is the color, or the only difference is the taste, and all the more so if the difference is in the name as well. Yeah. During Sfer Saimon, we don't say Shechyanu. So you say one Shechyanu to cover all the new fruits that you have in front of you. But if, let's say, for example, one time you have, to give his example, one time you have sweet cherries and they're available the first time this year, and the next time you have sour cherries and the same thing, it's the first time this year, then you would say a separate Shechyanu on each one of them. practically speaking, many fruits nowadays you don't really have, because many fruits are available throughout the year. So then it's more. But you have, of course, you know, they have the weird fruits that they bring in every year for Rosh Hashanah and times like that, that you say Shechianu on them. But yeah. Shuvah Shvat also, yeah.